Well, thank you, Liz, for that very special music. Always makes it nice on the Sabbath day to have our special music. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay, I think that's working. Okay, there we go. That sounds a little bit better. I know I can talk pretty loud, but that helps to have the amplification. Again, thank you very much, Liz, for that very special music. In the time of Jesus Christ, in the first century A.D., the roads were unsurfaced and unclean. During the dry season, the roads were nothing but dust. And during the rainy season, the roads were inches of mud. Now, the common person of that day wore sandals, which were simply leather soles held on by a few straps. And those sandals didn't give any protection from the dust or the mud that was on the roads. So when one approached their house, their feet would be a disaster, either of dirt that's all dry or all mud. For that reason, there would be pots of water at the entrance of a house to wash one's feet. And when a visitor arrived to be a guest at a home, they could wash their feet. Now, in the homes of the average common people, the host was responsible for the vessels and the water so that the visitors could wash their feet. But in the wealthier homes, the rich people, the host would provide a servant who would be ready with a vessel of water and a towel to wash the feet of the guests as they came into the entrance of the house. It was considered to be a very menial task, that of a servant to wash the feet of the guests. On the evening before his death, Jesus Christ taught the disciples a lesson about humility by actually using a physical demonstration of foot washing to teach a spiritual principle, and that is the foot washing attitude. Please turn with me to John chapter 13 to begin the sermon this afternoon. John chapter 13, and we will begin reading in verse number 1. Here we find the disciples in the upper room where they would partake of this ceremony and the New Testament symbols of the Passover. Meanwhile, there were thousands of Jews that were descending upon Jerusalem to participate in the traditional Passover that the Jews would partake of. But Christ did something entirely different with the disciples. And this ceremony that we're going to read was part of what he did with the disciples. John 13, beginning in verse number 1, we read, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Notice it says his hour, because Christ was fully conscious of what was about to take place. He was the one that had inspired the prophecies, for example, of Isaiah chapter 53, of the suffering, the death that he would go through. And he knew that that hour had come upon him. And it says that he loved them to the end. He loved them because that connects with the service, the example of service that he was about to perform with the disciples. Continuing on in verse number 2. "And supper being ended," during supper, "the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." We see here in verse number 3, the phrase that he was going back to God. He was going back to the very throne of the universe, to the power of the universe. And yet, we're going to see he humbled himself. Now, throughout mankind's history, the kingdoms and the governments of this world. The rulers most often seek to dominate, control, oppress their subjects, and exercise authority over them. But Jesus Christ, the coming king to rule in the kingdom, shows what true rulership is about, and that is to serve their subjects. And we see here his example of service in verse number 4. As he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. That's the task that a servant does for his guests. He laid aside his garments, the outer robe, and he girded himself. Other translations have, he wrapped a towel around his waist. Exactly what a servant would do to wash the feet. And in verse number 5, he began to wash the disciples' feet. So rather than to ask a servant to perform this task, Jesus Christ humbly carried it out himself to teach a spiritual lesson. And that is the lesson of humble service to others. The title of today's sermon is A Lesson of Service to Others. A Lesson of Service to Others. Today we will examine the importance of the foot washing attitude. It is an attitude of service to others. The foot washing ceremony is part of our Passover service, as established by Jesus Christ on that night with the disciples in the upper room. And this ceremony teaches the importance of service. And we will see that there's an attitude involved when it comes to serving. It is a Christ-like attitude, and it involves having the mind of Christ, being humble as he was. Again, at the time of Jesus Christ in the first century A.D., it was the servant that performed the task of washing a guest's feet. But Christ lowered himself to the status of a servant to wash the disciples' feet, to teach us a spiritual principle. Again, going back to verse number 5, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Verse number 6, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And then notice Peter's response in the first part of verse number 8. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. So Christ here was performing what a servant would do. He comes to Peter, and we see the pride of Peter. That Peter realized, hey, this is what a servant does. And he didn't want Christ doing that, performing what a servant would do on his feet. And he says, you shall never wash my feet. But then Christ gives him a warning in the last part of verse number 8. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And that was a very stern warning by Jesus Christ, and it hit Peter like a ton of bricks. He realized the importance of what he was teaching him. And Simon Peter said to him in verse number 9, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He said this as he had a quick change of attitude. And then Christ responded in verse number 10, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. Only needs to wash his feet, in other words, to learn the spiritual principle of service. Then he goes on to say, and you are clean, but not all of you, because he knew there was a traitor in the disciples. Verse 11, for he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. Continuing on in verse number 12, so when he had washed their feet, the disciples' feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Because he wanted them to understand the spiritual importance of what he had done. Verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Here's his instructions as we continue on. Verse 14, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, so that they could fully comprehend the spiritual principle and attitude of service to others. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. This word example, our English word example, when you go to the original Greek, it's emphatic. It's stressed in the Greek because it denotes something to be imitated and an admonition, which was Christ's own admonition that you ought to wash one another's feet, just as I have done to you. Verse 16, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. In verse 17, if you know these things, you know, if you really comprehend the spiritual significance and importance of what I'm teaching you, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And there will be spiritual blessings from the learned experience. We learn the significance of this from what Jesus Christ taught the disciples and taught to us. It's a Christ-like attitude of service, having the mind of Christ and being humble as he was. And that's why we perform that service as part of the Passover ceremony. Let's go to Psalm chapter 25, as we talk about this lesson of service to others. Psalm chapter 25, and we'll read verses 8 through 11. Now, this is a good section to read at this time of the year with Passover and the days of unleavened bread approaching. If you want to study something, take a look at this. Psalm chapter 25, verses 8 through 11. This is the Psalm of David. Psalm chapter 25, beginning in verse number 8. Verse number 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. Here it says teach. God teaches. He directs by his guidance. And this word is actually repeated in this section. God teaches us about sin through his word. Teaches us what sin does to us, where it leads, and the consequences. And it says teaches sinners. We learn about sin. And we learn about its dangers and the lessons during the days of unleavened bread. Especially at this time of the year, we learn about sin, what it does to us. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. Verse number 9, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. Now, if you're reading in the King James Version, the word is meek, which is equal to humble, a synonym. And that's the subject of this particular section. The humble. The humble or the meek person wants to follow God's way, not his own way. And he will be guided and taught by God, able to resist the pulls of the world and trying to get rid of sin in his life. The paraphrase of verse number 8 reads like this. God will teach the ways that are right and best to those who humbly turn to him. Humbly turn to him. In other words, in a repentant attitude, especially at this time of the year, focusing on the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. The humble he guides in justice. The humble he teaches his way. Verse number 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. And that's what we want to do. We want to keep God's word and keep it going in our lives, going forward towards the kingdom in conversion. And verse number 11, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. And that should be our thoughts, especially as we are approaching the Passover. Pardon my iniquity. And actually that pardon my iniquity goes back to being humble. A humble attitude, and humble spirit, a Christ-like mind, to ask for God's forgiveness because of our sins. It takes godly strength to be humble, to do things God's way in obedience and willingness. And that's something we can ask for when we get down on our knees in prayer. Help me to be more humble, to learn the lesson of service to others. Verse number 11 is a verse that fits in with the preparation for the Passover. A humble attitude in asking to have our sins forgiven. Now again, this is a good section to study at this time of the year. God has called us. God called us out of the world. We're just a few out of the many billions upon this planet. But he's called us to be future teachers and rulers in the kingdom. And it's so important to learn and understand the Christ-like humble attitude. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Here Jesus Christ addresses the corrupt leadership of his day. He specifically denounces the Pharisees. But while he's doing this, he teaches a vital truth. Matthew chapter 23, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 23. Again, it's a section where he's addressing the corrupt leadership of his day. Matthew 23, verse number 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples. Now, it's mentioned the multitudes here because multitudes, thousands of people were flocking to Jerusalem to partake of the Passover, the traditional Passover that the Jews kept. So he's speaking to them, but he's also speaking to his disciples. Verse number 2, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat to teach the law, to teach God's law. That was their job. Verse number 3, therefore, whatever they tell you, you know, from God's law to observe, that observe and do. When they're teaching you from God's law, you observe and do it. But, here's that but in the middle of the verse, do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. In other words, they were preachers, but not performers. They were preaching God's word, but not actually applying it in their lives and doing God's, obeying God's word the way that they should. Verse number 4, for they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. They had actually thousands of regulations that they would put on people. They lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Verse 5, but by their works they do to be seen by men. They want to be elevated in a position and be known as people in an elevated position. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. The borders of their garments was had these fringes on them to remind them of the law. But it was for show, because they weren't practicing it the way that they should. Verse number 6, they love the best places at the feasts, the best seats in the synagogues. You know, they wanted to be the top dog, in other words, wherever they were, the feasts or the synagogues. Greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men rabbi, rabbi. Verse 8, but you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. Now Christ comes to the central point as after he had blasted the Pharisees for being preachers but not performers of God's word and God's law. He comes to the central point he's making here in verses 11-12. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, the Pharisees, they wanted to be exalted. They wanted to be looked at and exalted by all the people. But they didn't have a humble attitude. And Christ is making the point that those disciples who are humble and have that right serving attitude, they are the ones that eventually will be exalted. And that's the point that he's making here. The measure of one of Christ's disciples is by measuring an emptying of self, is showing the quality of service. Humility is a greater character quality of a disciple rather than position. And that goes all the way back to the first century and even today. You know, we see that in our officials, our government leaders and rulers, kings, presidents, whoever they are. They want to be exalted. They want to oppress. They want to control the people. And yet Christ is making the point, it's better to be humble and serve others like he does. So as we go forward now into this, the rest of the sermon, let's take a look at some scriptures of a humble attitude, the foot washing attitude. Especially at this time of the year, we want to have that humble attitude and approach. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll read verses 5 and 6. Remember, Peter was one of those disciples that was with Christ on that night in the upper room. And he's the one that said, Lord, you shall never wash my feet. But he learned that evening. And we're going to read what he learned, because he admonishes one another, all of us, to follow Christ's teaching, especially regarding humility. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll read verses 5 and 6. This is Peter's words of advice for the congregation that corresponds to Christ's teaching. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Now, this word submit could be better translated to have a humble respect. Younger people, have a humble respect for your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. Have a humble respect to each other, in other words. And be clothed with humility. Very interesting scripture there, that phrase, be clothed with humility. Our English word clothed here, or the phrase be clothed, literally means to tie on an apron. To tie on an apron, which is exactly what Christ did in that foot washing ceremony with the disciples. What's to be tied on is humility. And that's what disciples should have. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, be clothed with humility. And here's what corresponds to Christ's teaching. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Again, Christ's teaching of humility. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The command to humble yourselves is also translated, allow yourselves to be humble. And that is the foot washing attitude. Again, the mind of Christ, what we want to have. And we want to have that mind to serve others. Let's go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. This is just the chapter before the chapter that we read on foot washing. John chapter 12. And we'll read verses 25 and 26. John chapter 12. Actually, let's pick it up in verse number 23 of John chapter 12. Verse 23, but Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Again, Christ knew what was about to happen to him. He was the one that prophesied all the things that would happen. Most assuredly, verse 24, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Referring to his death and the eventual spiritual fruit, the spiritual harvest that will take place because of his death and people that will be called and the eventual Holy Spirit that will be given on the day of Pentecost. Verse 25, He who loves his life will lose it. If someone's focused on self and only on self, that's not the way to be. And he who hates his life, you're not focused on self in this world, will keep it for eternal life. In other words, don't be focused on self. Be focused on others. Verse 26, and here's the example Christ sets out. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Follow my example, the example that I have set for you. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Christ explains what it means here. If anyone serves me, he will follow me. Christ's example. He is our model to follow. He says, and where I am, there my servant will be also. We can share in his glory by following his example and eventually to be a part of the family of God and the kingdom of God. Christ was saying here that only by service can one achieve greatness. Service to others. Let's take a look at another section of scripture in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Again, looking at some of these scriptures of having the foot washing attitude, a humble attitude. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 5 through 8. Now the Apostle Paul was addressing the church in Ephesus here. And in verses 1 through 4, he's addressing family relationships. He's talking about children and fathers, etc., addressing family relationships. And then in verse number 5, he addresses the servants that were in the Roman Empire. And it's interesting because it's been estimated that there were something like 60 million slaves and servants in the Roman Empire, throughout the Roman Empire. And most of them served in homes. But as the Apostle Paul preached the gospel message, there were many of these servants that were actually being called, that heard the gospel message. And so the Apostle Paul directs his attention to them here in this section of scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's pick it up in verse number 5. Oh, excuse me, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 5. This is after he addresses family relationships. Verse number 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Again, many of these servants throughout the Roman Empire had actually heard the gospel message and were being called. And so Christ is telling them, giving them admonition of what they should be doing. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. So, having the kind of mind of Christ, serving their masters, in other words. Verse number 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Notice this phrase, not with eye service. In other words, if the master's watching you, you're working hard, really diligent, going at it. But as soon as the master turns his head away and is not looking at you, you slouch off. He says, don't do that. Continue to work hard and diligent. Verse number 7. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. One must serve all the time, not only when one is being watched, not trying to gain the favor of men, but serving God. And verse number 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And so the point is to be willing to serve and work hard all the time. And that's the point the Apostle Paul is making. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. This corresponds to a section that I read in the sermon a couple of weeks ago in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10. This is Matthew's version of what we read. Matthew chapter 20, and we'll pick it up in verse number 17. Remember, we've seen in various parts of the scripture that Christ recognized that the disciples struggled with who was going to have position in the kingdom. And we're going to see here, they're actually going to ask, or a mother's going to ask, who's going to be on his right hand and who's going to be on his left hand in the kingdom. And Christ is going to teach a very important spiritual principle. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse number 17. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. Of course, it was the Passover was approaching. Took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Again, Christ knew what was going to be happening. Verse number 19, and deliver him to the Gentiles, the Romans, to mock and to scourge him and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again. The terrible things that Jesus Christ was going to be going through, the mocking and the scourging, receiving those lashes with they had the tentacles of bone and steel that would rip flesh. He was going to be going through that. He was describing that to the disciples. Then notice what happens here in verse number 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with their sons kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, verse 21, what do you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. So the mother of Zebedee's sons here was asking for positions of rulership in the kingdom. Not only positions of rulership, but to be on his right hand and on his left hand in the kingdom. And notice Christ's answer in verse 22. Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? In other words, are you willing to go through what I'm going to be going through, the suffering and the eventual crucifixion that I will go through? And they said to him, yeah, we are able. So he said to them, verse 23, you will indeed drink my cup, because they were going to go through their own trials and tribulations, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Many of them were martyred. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared by my Father. Verse 24, and when the ten heard it, you know, that the two of them were trying to position themselves for positions of authority in the kingdom. When the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Now Christ is going to make this point that is so important, not only for those disciples assembled that day, but for us as disciples as well. Verse 25, Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. And basically, verse 25 is a summary of 6,000 years of mankind's history. Rulers lording it over others, oppressing others, controlling others. That's the way it's been with governments, kingdoms throughout this world. And it still exists today. Now he makes this point in verse 26. Yet it shall not be so among you. You know, to have that exercising authority over others. It shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And that's a lesson for each and every one of us. Verse 27. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The true measure of greatness of a person is not their position, their power, or their prestige. It is their service. And Christ came to serve, and he did that by giving his life for all of us, paying the price with his blood so our sins could be forgiven. That's how he served us. Serving and working hard and not thinking about reward is important for us as disciples. We have to serve each other. And we have opportunity, not only today to serve others in whatever way that we can, but we also have opportunity to serve in the kingdom as future teachers and leaders in the kingdom. And that's why God has called us now to understand this and to learn of His word and His way of life so that we can be those teachers and serve in the kingdom. It's so important for us to grasp that and to keep looking forward to that. So let's take a look at a couple of scriptures in closing here. The attitude and the mind of leaders in the future in the kingdom. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. And we'll read verses 1 and 2. Again, we're going to read a couple of scriptures here about the attitude of leaders, what God expects for them to be those future leaders. Isaiah 66 in verse number 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. God is the creator of all. He's the creator of the universe. He controls everything. Then he has a couple of questions. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? You know, mankind can't do anything in comparison to what God can do. He has built everything, this universe. Verse 2, for all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But here's the very important point that God is making here in the last part of verse number 2. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Poor here can also be translated humble. One who is humble and a contrite spirit and follows God's word. As it's put here, trembles at God's word. The poor and contrite in spirit, the humble, have a deep reverence for God's word and they apply it in their lives. And that's something that each and every one of us have to be doing as disciples, to be those future rulers in the kingdom. Have a deep reverence for God's word and to apply it in our lives. But mankind in general, that's hard for them to do because of human nature. Mankind resists God's word. But the poor in spirit, the humble person, applies God's word in their lives. And especially to look to follow Christ and his attitude, the Christ-like mind of service. Finally, let's go to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57, just a few pages back. And we'll read verse 15. Isaiah 57. And verse 15. Verse 15, for thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, the one who created everything, whose name is holy. God says, I dwell in the high and holy place. Who does God dwell with? Well, that's explained here. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I dwell, God says, with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. That's contrasted with the proud and the haughty ones, which is the way of the world. But God will be involved in our lives as we have a contrite and humble spirit. God is above everyone. He's perfect and holy. He inhabits eternity. But God reaches down to lift up those who humble themselves before him, as it says here, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. And that heart there reflects back to humble, a humble attitude, one that has a Christ-like attitude. In conclusion, brethren, we do have opportunity now as we examine ourselves. We're just one day away from the Passover, and the days of unleavened bread are approaching. We do have the time to examine ourselves, and we can ask the question, do I have the Christ-like mind of humble service? Do I have that attitude that Jesus Christ had to serve others? This is the time of the year to have a humble and contrite heart before God as we do examine ourselves. Christ set the example for us to follow, to learn the importance of serving others, the lesson of service to others. It is the foot washing attitude. I hope everyone has a meaningful Passover service tomorrow evening and rejoice that you all rejoice at the night to be observed, remembering how God delivered Israel out of the slavery of Egypt and delivers us from our sins. And also, as we approach the days of unleavened bread, to be examining ourselves continually. And I look forward to being with you all on the first day of unleavened bread.